and welcome to the DIY Photo Organizing Podcast, focusing on topics to help you with your photo management. I'm Chantal from Photos in Order.
And I am Fiona from Photo Helper. And you may have noticed, if you're watching on YouTube, we have a beautiful guest with us today, Nancy. So welcome, Nancy, also.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello. All right. Let me introduce everyone to you. We're really looking forward to this chat today. So we are honored to have with us it's another person who speaks our language of photos. And so for those that are listening to us in our photo collection world, it's going to be a really interesting combination of our photo organizing. However, where Nancy comes from is a background. The company name is called Compass Rose Legacy Foundation. And Nancy is a legacy doula. So I can't wait to find out all about that. But as the executive director of Compass Rose Legacy Foundation, Nancy has really captured the profound beauty of human stories and moments that define our legacy, and really has a heart for people, for serving, for connecting, and for sharing the heart of what it is that people are wanting to communicate with others. That's what I have understood of a lot of the background of Nancy. So it's probably best, Nancy, if you really jump in and tell us all about what it is that a legacy doula is, a bit of background about yourself, and we'd love to hear about what it is that you do and how you share and support people's stories and legacies.
Well, thank you. That was a nice introduction. Thank you. I'm, as everyone said, my name is Nancy, and I am a legacy doula. Now, that's a little overwhelming for people, both words, legacy and doula, but it is quite simple. Doula is basically a woman who serves. Now, these days, it's a person who serves. It's Greek origin. And the word probably has not, it's only been used in the last 20 or 30 years. It started, the death doula movement started in 1999. I am a death doula, an end-of-life doula. I've served since 1999 professionally as a death doula, working with people at the end of life. Through that, one of the main components of being a doula and sitting alongside a person, a client, is doing a life review. You would now say a legacy review, and going in their past, going from the past, coming to the present, and then obviously the future, their last days, and finding that why in their life, those important meaning moments in their life. I call it a soul thread. We go through their life and find the little cross stitches of those moments that brought great meaning into your life. Not always high points, it can be low points, but then you sit with somebody and you work through it. That is their legacy. Legacy is about your story, you as a person. We don't go back into the genealogy or anything in the beginning. It's just a basic legacy. And once we discover really what your legacy is, you'll find that for most people, it brings great joy to them. It's like a healing tool. You look at your life, you realize, wow, there was a purpose. This is my purpose. And it gives you direction. It gives you direction moving forward. For those at the end of life, it gives them peace and grace at the end of life. My big concern working through all this, and now I've done it. I've been working in hospice since I was young, as you know, officially in the 1990s and on, but been working with people. But you discover, I've been sitting since COVID, I've been wondering why is everyone waiting until the last month of their life or the last weeks of their life? Why aren't you discovering your soul thread or talking about your stories way before that? And it's not as much for, it is for the next generation, but there's over, just in the United States, there's over 12 million adults, 55 and older, that are solar agers who have no next generation. And
Wow.
so you soon discover that legacy is really your story and how it brings fullness to you. And so that's why I converted from working with other hospices, working in my own private practice, to a nonprofit, to a foundation, to bring the awareness out, and to connect people who are doing photo management and people who are doing doula care, legacy care, connecting them all together can get people talking their legacy. Now, it's been much easier since COVID. COVID, with the isolation and everything, I worked all through COVID. And through the isolation, you discovered everyone had stories to tell and wanted to tell them, but there was no one to tell them to. So that's increased this demand for photo managers, legacy managers, whoever, to step in and help aid these people tell their stories. So that's, I hope that kind of explains it for you.
Sounds
Yeah, that is,
fascinating.
it really is. And I'm interested, Nancy, what your I picked up on the point you said, it's a healing process for them and the threads, and even using or exploring, I guess, or understanding and going into the meaning behind the difficult parts of life. And seeing how that fits into the thread. When you're looking at all of the experience and the stories, what are some of the things that you uncover? What are some of the treasures that you've experienced, the meaning making or the that, where you say that there's that peace that comes? What are some of the things that you've helped or you've seen people discover for themselves?
I think they discovered their values and traditions. They're, you can sit with a group of people. I do this quite a bit. I sit with a group of people and their first things they'll say to you, especially men, will say, "I don't have a story to tell." Or, "I don't know what my values and traditions were. I don't know. I don't care." Those are common things. So when we get to that stuck point, I'll say to them, that's when I pull out their photos. Most of this work starts with a photo. I don't look at the 10,000 photos. We curate those all the way down to 100 photos throughout their life. And then I try and get it down to maybe 50 or less. My personal legacy, I've gotten down to 5 photos that I can tell my story and, of course, then branch off to more photos. But at least I got to the core. And that's when I'm working with everyone. So I'll say I'm sitting with you and we're working on discovering your soul thread. So we might do somewhat of a timeline that is kind of your past, your present, and maybe what you're hoping for in the future. And we'll find those highlights. Then I'll find the photos. Because more than likely you have photos that match that event or match that happening. So then I'll present the photo to you and we'll look at it. And I think Chantel had mentioned it to me. What do you do about people that can't express their feelings? Find that a lot. They can't find the words for their feelings. So I'll take the photo and we'll sit there for a moment and I'll say, "Well, who's this little boy here? Why is he wearing a red shirt?" And sooner or later, they're telling the story, and then all of a sudden, it really gets deep. And I just let them, I listen. You, as a legacy doula, you become a very good, deep listener. And we're trained in that when we're doing end-of-life care. It's heavy on the deep listening, to have deep listening skills. And before you know it, I mean, I can take five photos. And they can tell the stories, and before you know it, we have it together. And at the end, the client will look at this. I'm encouraging everyone right now to record it. Before, I used to just handwrite it. But now the digital is so impactful and the different programs, so you can do it pretty inconspicuously and record them, or at least record the voice. And then I transcribe it. But in the end, the client will look at this, and we put it all together, and it's just amazing what happens to the person. In some way, it's a, like it's an energy change, realizing what, oh my gosh, look at the value here, look at the tradition that followed through all of it. So it's pretty powerful. I just trained a doula, an end of life doula. He has now become a legacy doula. And he sat with his first client, and I said, "The man wants to talk. Just record him." And so my the person I was training, he did record it all, and he transcribed it all and put it into and had photos to match it. And the man died 4 or 5 months later. This was his first client. And when my friend went to the memorial service, instead of the family doing memorial boards that don't have any motion to them or even a slideshow, they had taken all these transcribed stories, printed them out, and handed them to everybody that came to the memorial service. And my friend was so overwhelmed with joy, even though it was a memorial. But the man's story was being told, his life, his legacy was being told. So those are the outcomes that we see. I've had very few bad experiences. I just got off of a, I did a travel legacy trip. I was in the Netherlands for 2 weeks on a boat cruise, and I went with a group to document their experience, their photos, everything. While I was on the boat, there were 37 of us, but the boat had 130 people. And it's just natural. You sit with people you don't know. And I sat with a woman on, she's from the East Coast. I never knew her. Sat with her for breakfast for a half hour. She wanted to know what I did, how I served, and what I did for a living. So I explained legacy to her right off the bat. So I didn't see her again for a couple of days. She sought me out 3 days later and asked to sit with me outside. We sat outside, and she just poured forth what she said. I had inspired her so much to look back, and she pulled forth all these stories. So I said, "Well, now you're going to go home and journal this, and then I'll work with you." So it's amazing what happens when you just start with a simple. What is your legacy?
I've
Well, I hope that.
just had a
Go, Chantel.
thought. Yeah, as you were talking right now, Nancy, there's two questions popping up. What is a travel legacy? I'm very interested to hear about that. And also what you just mentioned, looking at the past, what I sometimes get when I tell people what I do as a photo managers, I have heard people say, "Yeah, no, I'm not interested because I don't want to live in the past. We live today and we enjoy today and we forget basically about the past." What do you say to people with that sort of mindset? Because I've got a different opinion. I find it's important to look at the past. It's not about living in the past, but in my view, the past is, that's what made us us. Without the past, we wouldn't be us today. And even ancestors that we never knew Without them, we wouldn't be here, or it would be different. So I'm just interested to hear your take on that. If people say, like, I don't want to go in the past, and
Yeah, that's a sensitive area. When people say a statement like that to you, it's usually avoidance. There's something that happened in their past they don't want to deal with, and they just want to move on or move forward. I always say I don't know how you can move forward without dealing with it, but there will be people like that. And so I say, okay, is there something in the last couple of years that has brought you joy or has brought you peace, or a value that you've had since you were a child, whether it's you brush your teeth in the morning. It can be something simple, but they're avoiding something. So obviously I'm not a therapist, but I do recognize that that must be it, and it must be a really painful situation. And believe it or not, when you start in the present and just pull a little something from a year ago or something, a week later, all of a sudden that past comes up and they start talking about it. So it goes both ways. Other than that, I would say, then I just deal with what they request. I mean, it is always the client. So we'll deal with then just the now. And it does come around, but just depends on how much time you have with the client. So that, I don't know if that answers your question, but I know it's a big signal that they don't want. This happens to me all the time. I'll go to an end of life client. I've been called in to sit with an end of life client, and the family's there. And I want to help do a life review, do, end of life preparations, that kind of thing. The family's not ready. The client might be, but the family's not ready. And so, I'll say, do you have some certain photos you'd like me to look at, do that kind of thing, or artifacts? And they'll come out with a father's items. The father had died 5 years ago. And they come out with all the father's stuff. And they said, we'd really like you to work on this. So there is an avoidance. So I work on the father's things, and then we go to the next step and the next step, and finally we get to the client. So it takes all, every situation is unique. I don't have a blueprint. Every client is unique. Every project, I've done hundreds and hundreds of legacy projects. Everyone has been unique. No client has been the same. No life has been the same. Because really, we're dealing with life here. We're not dealing with death. Legacy is about life. Dying process is about the life. And that's what I always emphasize. I do a lot of bereavement at the end. I do a carry the fire program. And it's always about honoring the life, not honoring the death. So that's pretty for you guys. So I'm sorry.
So good, so good. No, that's really interesting. And I want to help. I want to sort of bring that and circle back to something you'd said just sort of at the beginning in this sort of area you're talking about now. The comment you made was about wondering why, with COVID it was, people left it so late, and or and your sort of your heart for doing these kinds of things earlier. And I know with people that listen to our to the DIY photo organizing are working with their own photos or photos of that they've inherited, or just or also photos as young mums and middle-aged mums and older mums, or families that aren't at that stage of life. However, your comment was very much a sort of an offer to do this sort of work at any time, at any age, at any stage, to find these threads. Can you talk about that from From that sort of bring, I'd like to come back to that comment that you made about that, as far as it, this is not an age limited sort of an just this end of life. You have this beautiful wording called the afternoon of life and evening of life on your website, but can you speak a little
And the
bit more
morning,
about
and the
it?
morning of life. The morning of life would be the tw I usually don't work with anyone unless they're 18 and older, only because of privacy situations. But 21 and older, I'll just give you a personal example. I have two nieces and two nephews. They're in their 20s and 30s, and they know with me, they know now that they're curating their legacy already. For themselves, because of the fact they have lost their fathers, my brothers have passed. And they, I am, this is kind of getting personal, but I am the only Rose adult left in our lineage. And all my nieces and nephews have is me. So they know how important I feel that they keep their stories and their memories together, and how important it is for me to transcribe my family stories because I'm all they have. And that's where the recording thing comes in so important. When my brothers were passing, I wasn't apt enough to put them getting them recorded. However, I have all their voicemails recorded, and I saved them. They're silly and they're fun, but was a love between a brother and a sister. And my nephews, nieces and nephews come to me all the time to hear it because they can't remember the voice of their father.
No.
So it's important. Now I'm working with my one nephew, my nephew and my soon-to-be niece-in-law. She they lost two friends tragically a couple of years ago in a terrible car accident here in Chicago. The car went into Lake Michigan and they drowned. Now, they have a group of friends. They're in a very neighborhood community kind of thing where they grew up. There's 150 25-year-olds that want to get together and tell, it's now the 5-year anniversary of the boys passing. And they want to get together and write down the stories. Put all their photos together, write down the stories of Tony and Joey. And it's just beautiful. And that's one of the big collective legacy events that I do experiences. And it will be wonderful. So that's what I mean. I'm working with all ages. And even sitting with these goofy 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, I should say our age too, in their 50s and everything, that have these thousands and thousands of photos of food. What are you going to leave me pictures of food? I'm constantly trying to get everybody to curate their photos off of their iPhone and get them in storage and cut them down, take out the 10
So,
pictures of hamburgers.
let's get practical for a second here. That's really interesting. So you've got a group of 20, 30-year-olds. They've got all their, photos of, part selfies or food and restaurants and, the sort of the fun parts of life or whatever. What do you say to them? And so therefore to people that are listening, what would you say to them to look for? In if someone was starting to do this themselves to curate.
We talk about those moments that mean, my one nephew, when I sit with all his friends, they're big football players. Football meaning United States football, not soccer. And we sit with them and I have them organize their football photos, the stories of it between it. And then we curate and put them together so that they don't, we try and put it all together for them. So they don't have these 10,000 photos of one yard line or whatever. So, I mean, I just sit with all of them and it's usually I gather them. I know you had a question about how I do legacy cafes. That's kind of a legacy cafe for me. I will gather them all together. We'll usually be at a local pub, and we'll sit around and I'll kind of give them a quick class on how to you know, downsize their photos and how to get them off and in storage. So that's, and they're usually thrilled because their camera is loaded and it's a mess. So I try and help them organize it all. And it's amazing what comes out. And then they usually sit with their parents afterwards. Then I usually get a call from a parent saying, can you help us do this? And
that's amazing.
Most of the time I teach, I coach.
Yes.
Because I couldn't handle all of this. Mm. And I can't keep bringing in people to do it. So most of the time it's coaching and do it yourself. I encourage everyone to try and doing it themselves.
So Nancy, when they, let's say, yeah, you know, they choose, okay, this photo, that's the one. And at the story, do you use, again, very practical tips, do you use any specific apps, or do you say, whatever you do, you know, just write it down manually, or, you know, handwritten, or type up a Word document, or do you use apps or the cloud, or how does that look practically?
I there are certain apps right now that I'm just in love with. One is Artifacts, that you probably could do, where you can do, you know, an artifact or a memorabilia in your house, scan it, put the photo up, and write the story. I'm really in favor of that, because there's so much. When these seniors or adults or even kids, when they're downsizing, say they're leaving college and they can't take some things with them, they can take a photo of it, write the story in Artifacts, and keep the memory, and then it's easier to let go. When people are downsizing or seniors are moving into, you know, facilities and leaving their houses, it's an easy way for them to release their favorite china cabinet. They take a photo of it and post it on Artifacts and write the story behind it. And then it's an easy way of letting go and saying goodbye. That's a stage in many people's lives. I faced it. I had 7 family homes I had to clean out in 10 years. And the last one was my mother's. And I actually have a coach, a debriefing coach that sits with me, because most of the work I do is confidential. So I have to talk to somebody to release everything. So he sat, he's not in the area. He sat with me on the phone. I sat in my mother's condo and he had me hold the items that I couldn't take any. I just couldn't take anything anymore. And he had me hold it, think of it, the memories that went behind it. Then I journaled, wrote it down, and then putting on Artifacts and the photo of it. And then I was able to release the item because I had the soul of that item in me now. I'd written it and acknowledged it and honored it. So that's what I say to a lot of people. So Artifacts is one of them. I love Memento because it's inconspicuous. I can take that wherever, in a hospital room. It's an app on my phone, and I can do the recording, whether it's a video or voice. I can do it without too much awareness. You know, when you're sitting with somebody, usually a senior or somebody who's terminally ill, they want to be recorded, but they don't want to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. It makes them extremely uncomfortable. So I use that app a lot. I'm using different Smug Mug, everything else I'm going back and forth on. Permanent.org I'm using as to set up things there. So my programs and things that I'm doing are changing almost on a monthly basis. Because digital is just exploding in the last 3 months. I have put on my website a resource for anybody on legacy projects and digital resources. And I've listed all the possibilities for digital resources at this moment. And I will update it every 3 months because things are just changing.
Yeah.
And I'm changing depending on where I'm at. This will give you an idea of the travel legacy I was talking about. It was a group of 37 people. I went with them. I've traveled with three or four of them before. I went with them. It's a travel group. I went with them on this cruise, this river cruise in the Netherlands. And I was on board to curate all their photos of the 2 weeks and their experience. I wanted their story, why they were on the trip, how their feelings were on the trip, which was the most difficult part of this. And then I'm putting it together. I'm working on it now into a flip book. And then if they want a hard copy too, they have it. And it will be our experience as a group. Now, I used programs I have never used before because this group was used to an online platform called Photo Circle, Circle Photo. So they were all able to upload all their photos there. I have access to them. And now I'm downloading the ones I'm going to use. They uploaded over 1,200. So now I'm going through it. And since I was on the trip with them, I know the days and what happened. And then the hard part was getting them to journal. So I did a notebook, and some people did it. Then the others came up to me and said, "Can you wait till we get back and I'll send you something?" And I said, "Yes." So that was the hardest part, but they did come through finally. And it will be amazing to put this travel log together for them as a group. For this travel agent, she does 10 trips a year. This is the first time they've done something like this. So far, the response has been huge. And so we're offering it now. I'm going to come up with a template and offering it for all her trips now. So it's what I call a collective life experience project. And there's a lot of them out there. That's when there's 10 or more people. And I'll tell you, this travel thing is big. Because
Never heard of it.
more and more people are traveling since COVID.
Yeah.
More,
And I think that's a really interesting way to look at the underlying, like you say, those values and traditions, but the real heart and that, what that means to someone, it is a combination of a lot of different values that they have in their life as to what they are exploring and why, and the friendships, obviously, in a group like that, and the types of things that are important to them and the kind of conversations that they would have, which would be reflective of the relationships along the way, which is why I think in travel it is an interesting opportunity to be able to capture those underlying threads as a group and then individually what that means to people.
Another big collect, I was calling it collective legacy projects, but I changed it to life because it really is life. One big one we're just initiating now. I have a client, it's 150 clients. It's a family of 150
Wow.
who have camped for 50 years. So we're putting together, we're curating all the stories, the favorite campsite expressions, campfire expressions, and the photos for 50 years. And when I've met, we created this whole project template. And so there's four family project member managers that are pulling this all together for me. And when we got together and we were going through the outline of how we were go forward with this year. There's a lot of loved ones who have died over these 50 years, obviously. So this book and this curation process has now turned into not just the 50 years of camping, but at the end it will be the memorial, carry the fire pages for those that they've who have died and how they intermixed in all these camping experiences. So that's a big collective thing in it. It's out there for everybody, wherever you live in the world. Those experiences are out there.
Yeah. So We could talk for days. I think it's so
I'm sorry.
interesting. It's so interesting. But what kind of where would someone start? If someone's listening and they're like, wow, this is really important, it really resonates with them, where would you say, what advice would you give for someone that says, I really want to do something like that for myself or for someone in my family or with a group or whatever? Where would they start?
Well, I always start with this mess of photos most people have, and to curate it down or to organize it at least. That's my dog here in the back. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
To curate it, and I think on my website I make it fun to, go on a scavenger hunt throughout your house or throughout your family and curate and bring all the stuff together and then curate it down. That's one portion. The second portion would be, what is your legacy? What is your why? If you can define your why, this scavenger hunt will be much easier on the items you want. And now, those are the two components you put together. And that's what you have to your footsteps. Those are your little breadcrumbs to follow. And to compile it all together to something. Remember, it's your story you're telling, not history, not his story, the family story. That could come after you discover your story. Once you have your story together, then it widens out. But to really define your story, if you go onto my website, there's a portion on services. What is your legacy? I have a whole kind of booklet and stuff, examples on how I discovered my legacy and what I use with people when I go into groups. There's the thing like, can you get your story? Can you get your why down to six words? That's a
Let me
big goal for me.
clarify. I just want to clarify, Nancy, when you say your why, this is your why of life.
Right?
Right.
Why? Why
Your
you
why.
breathe?
Right.
Why you get up in the morning? If we bring it to present tense, why you bring it up? Why you get up in the morning?
Yeah.
And
Yeah. Beautiful.
it's your meaning. The very so when you say to people your why, they get a little overwhelmed. When you say, what meaning did you have? They get a little overwhelmed. So that's why I did work and use a soul thread. Because when you talk about a soul thread, it's you can imagine it going through your life. Corrie Ten Boom, who was the Dutch resistant, she was based in the Netherlands, and she's a Holocaust survivor. Because of her work, she was a Christian, but because of her work during the Holocaust and saving Jewish people, she was thrown into one of the, I don't know where it was, one of the camps. Well, she used to teach the children about a soul thread. She used to put a tapestry up, but she showed the back of the tapestry. You know what a back of a tapestry looks like? It's
Yeah, with
just
all
all
knots and
mess,
mess
the
and
chaos, the threads, whatever. So she used to show the children this. And there's now this famous poem that they use for it. But so she would show the children, see what this is. But look what happens when you get this all together and discover. What threads are yours? And then she turned around and saw the beautiful tapestry and what that chaos created. So the back is your life, your experiences. And
Yeah.
when you thread it all together and your cross stitches, you get the photo, you get the why. So
Yeah.
when I get it down to that analogy, it
Mm.
usually clicks with someone, especially quilters.
Yes.
Start with quilters, they get it right away.
And you could, I mean, that's so then on a practical level, you can really sort of look at the back of that tapestry and say, and talk about what the knots were, if they're open, and obviously, with sensitivity and all those types of things. But from a photo, going through photos, looking at the grouping of photos and seeing what the back of, that color in the tapestry is, that comes through, and that's a beautiful way of being able to to help people through something which is obviously, maybe even important without even consciously being aware that it's important, and really uncovering that, in bringing these things, as you use the word awareness, bringing it out, and then that peace and that real joy, which is a very internal experience, to be able to really see that. And it would be very healing, as you say, for people to go through that at any age.
Yeah, and I give this example. People say, it's not always happy things. My mom passed 2 years ago, but my mom was known as, she would send us cards. We used to call her Mrs. Hallmark. Yeah. So she would used to send us cards like you wouldn't believe. And everything in the card, she would put words of wisdom or Bible verses or newspaper clippings. Well, after my mom died, I was an only daughter. I had saved a lot of these cards. Well, it got down to two. I think I saved over 200 cards.
Wow.
And so I decided to scan the cards, because how am I going to keep all this stuff? So I scanned the cards. I scanned in everything that was inserted in the cards. And I had like 450 scans. And meanwhile, I had to read through all of this. And, I was under the impression, my mother always loved her sons, but I always felt that we never had a really close, I mean, I knew she loved me, but I was always daddy's little girl. So when I went through all these cards, afterwards, I realized, wow, I did not have the truth. I was not living the truth. My mother loved me to the day she died, and really loved me. And in her writings, it's all expressed through that. And I thought, what a great experience that was for me.
Yeah.
To go through, to curate these, they weren't photos. Well, she did have include some photos in the cards, but they were cards, and it was her handwriting. So people, it's just not photos you look at. You look at all your other items that you have,
yeah,
that you saved. Letters, legacy letters are so important.
Yeah.
I work with everyone now saying that don't just do a photo book, add legacy letters into it. Add expressions into it.
Mm.
Don't just sit with a photo book. Don't do a slideshow with just photos.
Mm.
Add in your favorite expressions. Add in Psalms or Bible passages or Torah passages or whatever, whatever your faith is,
yeah,
whatever your belief is, or famous quotes.
Mm.
Make sure you add in a piece of your reflection into it.
Yeah.
So that's one of my big suggestions right now. And that's through self-discovery. I mean, I've seen a lot.
You have. I mean, that's a, it's a beautiful, touching story. And I, thank you for sharing that with us. I really look forward to watching this episode myself again and going through. I think it is such a valuable, opportunity to have this discussion, and I think it really intertwines so well with people that are doing their photos, because at the heart of anyone that's got any interest on their own photos is the underlying desire to retain something of themselves, of their life, of their experiences. And that's really what we're doing, is we're talking about that and then taking it even deeper, a deeper exploration of that very natural desire, I think. And even when you say, maybe it's not something which is definitely an easy process, or even a process that someone says, I don't really need to, or I haven't really got anything. So beautiful is that underlying real depth to what's there that can come through with patience, listening, and gentleness. I think I really hear what you're saying is, is just a lot of gentleness to be able to help people through that. And then, and not just for those that do that for themselves, for those around them, as you say, the impact you've had of doing that for your nieces and other family, I think it's such a beautiful intertwined experience. It's lovely. Thank you.
Before we wrap it up, even though, as you said, Fiona, we could talk for days,
I
it really is such a wonderful topic. Is there anything, Nancy, that you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap it up? Something that we haven't mentioned yet? That's close to your
know.
heart.
Just that. It's really important for yourself, for you. Do something for you. And look at your life and look at your legacy so that you don't wait until those last moments or not doing it at all, because then your loved ones or whoever have to try and piece it together. But for your own self-worth, for your own value, for your own love, self-love. There's nothing wrong with self-love, and I think most of us have not even discovered that. And I think it leads to it helps you deal with the chaos in this world. If you're solid in knowing who you are and what your values and what your life has been. Because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, if there's one truth in the world, we're all gonna die. We're born and we die. So it would be wonderful if you're at peace, and that's what I wish for everybody is peace and self-worth and kindness. I mean, we need a lot of kindness going forward these days.
We do.
That's true. So
And it
true.
helps you. I'll give you one last story and then we can wrap up. If you work that way, if you discover your legacy and the warmth you feel inside, it automatically illuminates when you go out in the world. Once again, I'll tell you, I was in the Netherlands and we were in this small little town, just a small little tiny town. I think there were 1,000 residents. And we were walking through the town, and after the little walking tour, I went into a little storefront. And there was a woman behind the counter. She was a beautiful Dutch woman. And I walked in, I surprised her. She wasn't expecting anyone to walk in the store that early in the morning. And she got a little rattled, and she had a few tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm really sorry. I wasn't expecting anyone in here." She said, "It's the anniversary. My father died a year ago." And I just looked at her and I said, "Okay." I said, "Are you okay?" So I'm trying to find a piece of poetry that I want to send, I guess, to another family member. I'm not quite sure, but I can't find it. And she was searching on the computer, and I said, "Well, hi, my name's Nancy. I'm a legacy end-of-life doula, and I'm here. I can help you if you'd like." Well, for some reason, she knew what an end-of-life doula was because I didn't have to give her any explanation. She had me come behind the counter, and I said, "This is a poem I always use." And so we pulled it up on the computer. She printed it out on her printer, and I walked around the store then and let her read it. And then she kind of waved me back to the counter. I got to the counter. She was just engulfed in tears, crying. And she's not sad tears, it was joy. And she said, "Thank you so much for this. This is exactly what I needed. You came in right when was needed. And that if we carry our loved ones in our heart, they'll always be with us." That was the ending of the poem. And so, what I'm trying to say to everyone, discover that in yourself. Because when you go out into the world, no matter what's happening around us, you'll find those moments where you're supposed to be and to share the love you have in your life with somebody else. That's my ending for you. I'm sorry.
Couldn't have scripted that any
So feel
Perfect.
free, anybody, to contact me, and I'll send whatever resource I can be to you, I am there. Source, ideas, how-tos, anything.
Yeah, we will definitely, we've mentioned the website, the resources. We'll definitely share the links to your website and all that in our show notes. As usual, our usual listeners know that we always do that, and invite them to get in touch with you or through us. And as Nancy told us a bit earlier, that she works very closely with many photo managers and other people. So if you do need help, please let us know.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nancy. It's just been a joy, an absolute joy. I'm studying counseling at the moment. I'm in my third year. So it's just been an absolute pleasure to be able to have this conversation with you. So thank you for joining us, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of our listeners too, that it's really been yeah, a very valuable conversation to do with our photos and more. So thank you so much. And yep, if you want to get through on our website, information and newsletter and things like that, I'm signing off myself now. So it's Fiona from Photo Helper. Thank you so much for listening.
And yes, thank you indeed, Nancy. Also from my part, it was a really wonderful discussion, and it wouldn't surprise me to have you back. And
Anytime.
lots of things to think about that you shared with us and our listeners today, and I hope our listeners feel as inspired as I do. And yes, as Fiona said, listeners, sign up to our newsletter so you don't miss our episodes. They're currently coming out on a monthly basis, roughly. And you can also use our wish list that you find on the website to enter any wishes that you have, any topics that you would like us to talk about, or to invite experts in, such as Nancy is. So please don't be shy and share with us and let us know how we can help. And we're looking forward to seeing you next month. I'm Chantelle from Photos in Order. And thanks again, Nancy.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy.
Bye.
Bye.